Okay, good morning. All right, we're on Daf Yud Amud Aleph, four lines from the top. The Gemara is continuing on its efforts that it began last week, or the end of the last Amud of Gemara, where the Gemara is trying to demonstrate that the various machloksim throughout the Mishnayos in the first parak of Beitza that we've been seeing and that we will continue to see don't exist and don't turn entirely on the issue of Simchas Yom Tov. Right, the Gemara had suggested that perhaps the defining issue in each of these Mishnayos is the issue of Simchas Yom Tov, in which case the Gemara highlighted contradictions, because on the one hand, in some of the Mishnayos, Beis Shammai is Machmir and Beis Hillel is Mekel, and in the other Mishnayos, Beis Shammai is Mekel and Beis Hillel is Machmir. So if they're all talking, if all these Mishnayos are all centered on that one central issue of Simchas Yom Tov, and whether the mandate of Simchas Yom Tov overrides various Yisurim, why in some Mishnayos would Beis Shammai be Mekel and Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel Machmir, and the others vice versa? And so each of these answers, each of these challenges is answered by saying, no, that Mishnah stands on its own. There's a particular issue that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are arguing about. It's not just Simchas Yom Tov that enters the mix, although that sometimes plays a role. So now we're going to ask our, I think, third or fourth challenge, which is, again, we're on Daf Yud Amud Aleph, four lines from the bottom. Eli Kashi HaKashi. If you have a contradiction that you want to ask, this is the contradiction to focus on. Beis Shammai Omrim, Einotlin Esa'oi Lokatsiv Lav Basar. So Beis Shammai says, this is a Mishnah coming up, that you should not take the, or you should not move this certain very thick cutting board that Rashi points out was used for certain Yisurim. This is a kind of cutting board that was used to thresh wheat, to kind of grind up wheat in a certain way. That's clearly a malacha. So the cutting board now is a klisha malachto isser. The malacha of a klisha malachto isser is that you're not allowed to move it. It's muktzah in a sense. Not the muktzah that we've been talking about until now, but a different kind of category of muktzah. Klisha malachto isser. As we'll see soon, the malacha of a klisha malachto isser is that you're allowed to move it with tzorach gufo and with tzorach makomo. So if you have an intended purpose for this klisha malachto isser that is not usser, then you're allowed to move it. The classic case of a hammer. You're not allowed to move your hammer generally on Yontif, on Shabbos or Yontif, because a hammer is muktzah. We all know a hammer is muktzah. It's a klisha malachto isser. Typically, you're going to use your hammer to bang a nail into a wall. That is a malacha. But if you have a coconut that you need to open on Shabbos, you're allowed to take your hammer and use it to open the coconut, because a klisha malachto isser is mutter with tzorach gufo. Here you're using the hammer as a hammer for it. You need it. And so you could take that hammer and break a coconut open. That's, and you don't even need to designate it beforehand. It's not like a rock. A rock is not a klisha malachto isser. A rock is mamish muktza in the most classical sense, that you know the muktzah that we've been talking about here in Maseches Beitza. So a rock, you can't just take a rock and pick it up and break your coconut with the rock, because the rock is muktzah. But a hammer is a kli. A kli is not muktzah inherently.
What does scissors fall
into? Scissors, I think, would probably be the same thing. Scissors would be the same thing. It's a kli shemachto isser. It's certainly a kli.
But if you're going to use the scissor to open a package or something.
Yeah, if you can use the scissor to open a package, then you couldn't. But if you can use it to open food in a permissible way and not make a kli, I think, don't quote me on that. We have to double check. But I think you could even just use the scissors. I don't see why not. Okay. Fine. But this cutting board, which is a very thick cutting board, Rashi says, which is typically used for an isser, Beis Shammai says you're not allowed to move it. Beis Hillel matirin. Beis Hillel says you are allowed to move it on Yontif. So Gemara says Alma gabi Simchas Yom Tov Beis Shammai ulchamer Beis Hillel kula. This demonstrates. This shows that Beis Shammai is machmir on Simchas Yom Tov, whereas Beis Hillel is mekil v'reminhi. And we have a contradiction. Hashochet chayev of Beis Shammai. And here we go back to the Mishnah about kisui hadam, where if you remember, Beis Shammai was mekil and Beis Hillel was machmir there. So how do you explain that? Beis Shammai was mekel there. Did I say that right? Sorry, Beis Shammai was mekel there. Beis Hillel was machmir. And here Beis Shammai here in by the note in Esa'ol Yukatzel Abasar, Beis Shammai is machmir and Beis Hillel is mekel. So that's a contradiction. If both cases are inherently or fundamentally about Simchas Yom Tov, how do you explain that? So Rav Yochanan Muchavis Hashitos. Rav Yochanan says, flip around the shitos here. And then you won't have the contradiction anymore. So Gemara says, Mimai, Dilmo Lohi, don't be so quick to flip around the Shittos. Maybe that's not true. Ad Kan Lo Kamri Beis Shammai Hasam Elahicha Dikar Dekar Notes. Beis Shammai there wasn't focused solely on the issue of Simchas Yom Tov. The only reason Beis Shammai there was Mekel was because the circumstances warranted a Kula. Beis Shammai said, this is Muchan. There's no issue of Muktza altogether. There's no Malacha altogether. And so therefore Beis Shammai was Mekel on the merits, not just on Simchas Yom Tov. Avahicha Deleka Dekar Notes. But if that weren't the case, if there was fundamentally something Aser, Beis Shammai wouldn't have been Mekel solely on the basis of Simchas Yom Tov. Inami ad kan lo kamri beis hilo hacha elodika toras kliyalav, and perhaps the Gemara suggests the only reason beis hilo is mekil here is not because he fundamentally is mekil on Simchas Yom Tov, but because on the merits on this issue of kli shem lachto iser, he points out that it's a kli, and therefore even though it's a kli shem lachto iser, but to do something that's mutter, to cut meat on it, which is a mutter activity on Yontif, there you are allowed to. But there, Beis Hillel on the merits didn't think that there was sufficient reason to think that it was Muchan. As the Rashi points out there, he says it's not really Muchan, the mere fact that the shovel's stuck in the dirt. For Beis Hillel, that's not enough of a hachana. So the Gemara moves on to its next attempt, Eli Kasha Akasha. Maybe this is the contradiction we're focused on. Beis Shammai Omrim Einos Nisa Or Lifnei Adorson V'Loyag Bienu. You should not take the hide of the animal. This is an animal that you shechted on Yontif. Don't take the hide and put it on the floor in the place where they would typically step on it in order to work the hide and convert it into usable hide. V'leg benu, and don't move it around. Elim ken yesho of kazayis basar. Unless it has a kazayis basar. If it has a kazayis basar, then you can certainly move it because the basar is not muksa, and that kind of makes the whole thing permissible. But otherwise, you can't move it because Beis Shammai is concerned that it's muktzah, he's concerned that putting it down in the area of where you're going to be doreso, where you're going to step on it in order to work it, that is a problem of a moach on yantiv. Well, Beis Hillel matir, and Beis Hillel says it's mutter. So Alma, again, the Gemara tries to say, Alma gabi simchas yom tov, Beis Shammai l'chumra, uVeis Hillel l'kua. So here we see Beis Shammai being machmir, Beis Hillel being mekel, and the Gemara is assuming that fundamentally they're arguing about simchas yom tov. Very many, and we have a contradiction. What about our Kisli Adam Mishnah, where Beis Shammai was Mekel and Beis Hillel was Machmir? How do you explain that? So Rav Yochanan, Muchlef HaShita. So Rav Yochanan says, flip the Shita here to make Beis Shammai Mekel here as well on the issue of Simchas Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, Mimai, why were you so quick to do that? Dil Malohi, maybe that's not the case. Don't assume that in both cases they're arguing on Simchas Yom Tov, or for that matter, don't assume in either case that they're arguing about Simchas Yom Tov. Ad kan lo kamri Beis Shammai hasam el heichad ikar dekar notes. The only reason Beis Shammai is making over there is because he fundamentally doesn't think that there's a muktza problem. He thinks it's absolutely muchan. He doesn't have to rely on Simchas Yom Tov. It's because there's no isser altogether. Aval heichad leka dekar notes. But were there not the case, lo inami. Or alternatively, ad kan lo kamri Beis Hillel hacha. The only reason Beis Hillel, excuse me, here is mekil is el dechazi umazga umizga iluya. Is because here you can move the hide according to Beis Hillel because it's being moved for use on yantiv. They would use these hides not only to to be doris them in order to work the hide, but actually to sit on them and relax on them on yantif. Aval hasam lo, but that's not the case. There where there is no permissible where Beis Hillel would say fundamentally on the merits there was no achana. So then the Gemara moves on and tries another time. I think one final time. Eli kasha al kasha. Let's try the following. This is the kasha. Beis Shammai omrim ein mesalkin es hatresin biyom tov. So this, it talks about these gates or doors that were on the front of the merchants' areas. If you think of like the Arab shuk or even the Jewish shuk in Israel. So they have these like metal doors. When they're closed, the metal doors close up the store. And when they're open, the metal doors are not used only,
as security.
Not used only as security, but they actually hang wares on them. They hang the merchandise on them. So Beis Shammai says, "Ein mesalkenes hatreisim yontov." You can't move the doors on yontif, right? Uveis Hillel matirin, and Beis Hillel says you can not only move them, but af lahachzir. You could even move them back afterwards. Now these doors are ostensibly muktzah in a sense because they're being used as displays for merchandise. But Beis Hillel in the Havin of the Gemara is saying you could not only are you allowed to move them to open them up and display the wares, but you could even put them back. Rashi says Beis Hillel is in the Havmina so focused on Simchas Yom Tov that he even allows you to put them back in order to kind of incentivize you to take it off in the first place so that you'll open up your area and make things available on Yantif. So Alma Gabe Simchas Yom Tov Beis Shammai Uchumra Uveis Hillel Lakua. So it seems that with respect to Simchas Yom Tov, Beis Shammai is Machmir, Beis Hillel is Mekil, Viriminhi, and we have a contradiction, Ashoche Chayev Of Yom Tov, and again we quote the Kisui Adam situation, the Kisui Adam Mishnah, and there Beis Shammai is Mekil, Beis Hillel is Machmir. So again, if they're in both cases it's focused on Simchas Yom Tov, why is there a contradiction? So finally, after six or seven tries, the Gemara finally is willing to concede, okay, I'm going to leave you alone. Bishlam Beis Shammai Beis Shammai Olkashia. I understand. You're going to settle Beis Shammai by saying Hasam Diker Deker notes, Hachal Leker Deker notes. There, it's because fundamentally Beis Shammai thinks that there was Hachana and there's absolutely no problem. He's not relying on Simchas Yom Tov, and the reason he's saying it's Mutter there is because there's no problem of Muktzah. But it's still saying that Beis Hillel is a contradiction. But Beis Hillel is a problem because, again, we're saying that if Simchas Yom Tov is the issue here, why is Beis Hillel Machmir there and Mekil here with respect to these doors on the market? Rav Yochanan Muchlefes Hashitas. Rav Yochanan finally, and one last time, suggests let's switch around Let's switch around the shitos.
Which sheet does he try to change? Every case.
Well, no, in every case, he's suggested switching around the current one that we just quoted.
Okay.
The Decker notes, the Kisui Adam, they always leave as settled.
So, in order for his answer to work, he has to change like six different.
Yeah, he'd have to. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. He keeps on getting right. And then the gears on the side says Dilma Lohi Ad Kamo Kamri Beis Hillel Hacha El Mishum Dein Binyam Bekelim Eim Sira Bekelim Aval Hasam Lo. The problem, the muktzah problem here that we thought was overridden by Simchas Yom Tov, wasn't simply that these doors are muktzah, but that it was a problem of binyan, that you were as if you were creating an ohel by setting up the doors and opening them up in the certain way that they used to do it. But Beis Hillel is saying that's not a problem, not because it's overridden by Simchas Yom Tov, but because on the merits it's not a problem, because Ein Binyan Mekelim. Binyan, the malacha of constructing something, is only true when you're constructing something that's stuck in the ground, that's really a building. But something that's a portable kli, something that's not stuck in the ground, but just is a portable kli, isn't subject to the rules of Binyan, at least on a deraisa level, and therefore that's why Beis Hillel says it's not a problem here, not because Simchas Yom Tov overrides any kind of malacha. Fine.
So why can't you use an umbrella?
That's a good question. So that's the whole discussion. Now, at least that's a whole discussion. At least on a deraisa level, it might not be a problem if you hold in binyan account. But OL is binyan, I think. Isn't that the same?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's related to malacha. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So now the Mishnah, now we're going to get to the next Mishnah. Mishnah says, Beis Shammai Omrim. Okay, so as an introduction to this Mishnah, if you recall, in the very first Mishnah in Beitza, we talked about the idea of certain chickens being designated la'achila and certain chickens being designated as egg harvesting chickens, as egg producing chickens. And we said that that's true by domesticated chickens, where if you have all your chickens and they all live with you, live in your chicken coop, and you kind of control them entirely, so you could designate a whole group of chickens as omedes lachil or omedes lagadol beitzim. But when it comes to wild birds that you're keeping in an area where the birds can come in and out, and you're not entirely in charge of them, right? They can come in and out. So there, it's a little more complicated because we assume that you don't have the intent of designating your ability to designate birds is limited to kind of one or two birds that you could say, okay, these are the two birds that I'm holding on to for Yontif. They're within my control. I'm designating them as la'achila, right, to eat on Yontif. But any other birds that you haven't specifically had in mind from before Yontif as omedas la'achila, as that you're going to take tomorrow in Shecht, are not muchan. They're not within your the purview of your intention, of your expectation to eat those birds, because birds are coming and going, and there are a million birds out in the world, and so it's not possible that you could ever have the intent to designate all the birds in the world, or even all the birds sitting all here, because they're all kind of over the place. But if you specifically identify one or two birds, or three birds, or the specific birds that you think that you're going to shecht, so that's okay. You can identify those specific birds, and then those birds are now not muktzah, and then you could shecht those birds. But anything that has not been muchan mibojom, something that you haven't, anything you have not designated from beforehand, you are not allowed to eat. It's considered lacking in hachana and muktzah. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says as follows: Beis Shammai Omrim lo yitol elim keinanea mibojom. You can't take a bird on Yontif and shecht it unless you had previously shaken it or designate. Well, nanea literally means moved it. You've lifted it. Yeah, you've lifted it. You've moved it around a little. That's what Beis Shammai says. You need to have actually lifted and moved the bird around a little before Yontif. That then designates that bird, and then you could take that bird and shecht it on the next day on Yontif. He says, Beis Shammai says, you don't actually have to move the bird. You could stand from a few feet away. You could say, okay, I am designating bird A and bird B, and as long as you designate specific birds, that's good enough. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chanan bar Ami, Machlokas Bevrecha Rishona. This Machlokas of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in our Mishnah only pertains to the first Brecha, the first generation, or the first breed of birds. So this is a very interesting thing. And if you look in the Rashis here, apparently in ancient bird breeding practice, in order to incentivize birds to have babies and to make the birds more comfortable, you would leave with them the first offspring. And then you would only harvest and take away from them the second and third offspring. So the first male and female, Rashi says, that any particular bird bred, had babies, you know, any particular bird bred, you'd kind of leave it there. That would be comforting and soothing for the bird to have their first offspring there. That would allow them to continue to breed birds in a relaxed fashion. And any subsequent birds, those you could take away, and that wouldn't be so hard for the mother, apparently, to deal with, as long as the first offspring were there. So the Rav Chanan bar Ami says that the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel pertains to the Brecha Rishona, where your typical bird breeder would not ever intend to harvest those birds on Yontif and eat them on Yontif, because those are the first offspring. Those are the ones that are going to ensure that your birds are continuing to breed. So it would be unusual for you to take those and shecht them on Yontif. And furthermore, if you did decide to shecht them on Yontif, you might very well have second thoughts. So you'd start to take the bird away, and then you'd realize, no, this is not a good idea, because I want my bird to continue to have babies, to continue to breed more birds, and you'd put him back, and that would be a tiltul shlo tzorach. That would be very bad, because it turns out you have moved a bird for no purpose, and that's a muksa problem. And so therefore, says Rav Chanan bar Ami, Beis Shammai is insisting that when it comes to your Brecha Rishona, we want to ensure that we're going to say that if you are going to be allowed to take one of those birds on Yontif to shecht it, we better be sure that you are going to follow through. And that's more likely if you kind of went through the psychological process of before Yontif of picking up one of those birds, shaking it, saying, I'm really going to take this bird. And then Beis Shammai is content that you're going to follow through on your intent to take that bird on Yontif. But if you haven't done that, then we're worried, and that would be bad. So that's why this machlokas pertains to the Brecha Rishon also. But Rav Hanan Bar Ami says for other birds, for the subsequent offspring of the main breeding bird, there this machlokas is not going to apply at all, and everyone is going to agree that you don't need to lift it; you could just designate it verbally. So let's see the Gemara. Amar Chana Bar Ami, Machlokas B'Berech Rishon. This Machlokas in Mishnah only applies to the first breeding, the first offspring. The Beishamai Savri Gazrin and Dilma Asi L'Muchay. Beishamai makes a Gezerah, as we said, because they're afraid that you're going to change your mind. It's going to be a total Shul Tzarek. That would be bad. Beisil Savri Go Gazrin. Beisil says it's not a concern. They don't extend that Gezerah. Avav B'Berech Rishnia, but with subsequent offspring. It's sufficient to simply designate the birds verbally. Okay. So now the Gemara says, says the Gemara, why is Beis Hillel, or for that matter, Beis Shammai, we're focused on Beis Hillel at this point, but again, we're now focused on the Brecha Shnia. Forget about Brecha Rishon, we already moved beyond that. Now we're focused on the Brecha Shnia, on the regular birds that you're going to harvest, right? And we're saying that each one needs to be designated specifically. I intend to take that bird, and that bird, and that bird, and all the other ones are now not Muchan. Wouldn't it be a lot easier to just say, look at the whole chicken coop, and say, I am being Mechin all the, not chickens, all the birds, all the doves in this coop, and then you're covered, right? Why is that not a problem? So, if you kind of look in the Rashi's and the Gemara, what seems to be clear is that the problem with that fundamentally is that we know that your das is not to do so. You're not going to be eating all those birds. We know you're only limited to one or two birds. And we don't think that you genuinely think that you're going to eat every one of the birds, because you're not. You're not going to eat every one of the birds. And so therefore, a general hachan on all of them is kind of weak. That's kind of what comes out of the Rashi, Dibur Maskil, Leslu Brera. That's the best way, I think, of understanding the sugya. And so the Gemara then requires that you have to have had focused on one or two or three particular birds. So the Gemara then suggests the following, the Chitema Beisila Lesluhu Brera. Perhaps what this means is that Beis Hillel doesn't hold of the concept of Brera. The concept of Brera is a concept that exists throughout Shas, which says that you can retroactively designate something. So, for example, in our case here, we're requiring that you designate a specific bird or two or three on Erev Yontif, right? If you hold of Brera, that retroactive designation works, so then you could kind of set the stage, say before Yontif, I designate some of these birds on before Yontif, and then when Yontif itself comes, you could grab one bird or two birds or however many birds you're going to want, and your taking of those birds will act retroactively as if you had designated those birds from before Yontif. That's what Brera means. Brera means you could take an action now or make a designation today that will halachically halachically be as if the designation was made beforehand at an earlier date.
Like a general designation.
You can make a general designation at an earlier time, and then you can make the more specific designation. And even though halacha requires that the specific designation had been made earlier, your specific designation will relate back in time retroactively. That's, in a nutshell, what Brera is. So perhaps the Gemara suggests that Beis Hillel, in requiring that you designate the specific birds on Erev Yontif and not allowing you to make a general designation alone, doesn't that demonstrate that Beis Hillel doesn't hold of the concept of Brera? The problem is the following. There's a Mishnah that says that Beis Hillel does hold of Brera. Vatanan. And this is a Mishnah having to do with, this is on the topic of Sof Tuma Latzeis. Let's see. The Mishnah says as follows. Let's say you have a dead body in a house. Someone dies in a house, and there are a number of doorways and windows in that house. So, clearly, any of the kelim in that house are tamei, because tumas ohel applies within the house. Clearly, that house is tamei. The question is, what's the status of overhangs on the outside of those doorways. So, right, there are a bunch of doorways in that house. Anything in the house is clearly Tameh, without question, Tumas Olah. But the Tumah would extend through, potentially extends through doorways, and would even extend to be Matameh Kelim that are on the other side of those doorways under an overhang. So,
not because the overhang is part of the house.
Not because the overhang is part of the house, because there's a wall and a window in between. That kind of severs the Tumah. But because those windows and doors are potential exit areas for the mace, they get a special designation of Tumah, according to this Mishnah. Rashi here says this is a Tumah Drabanan. A whole bunch of Rishonim jump in, or Achorim jump in and say, what do you mean this is a Tumah Daraisa? That's the, if you look at the Hagos Marav Ranchberg on the bottom right, he cites the Shita Mekuvetzes, etc., and others who kind of, attack Rashi and say, no, this isn't the Tumah Drabanan, it's a Tumah Daraisa. For our purposes, it doesn't really matter. It's going to be that the Kelim under those overhangs are Tameh. So the Mishnah says, Hameis Babais, Velop Sachem Harbe, it has many openings, Kulan Tamehim. All the openings and the overhangs on the other side of them are considered Tameh.
That's almost like where the carriages are parked. Let's say.
Yeah, right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Outside of our shul, right, that's right. Niftach Echad Mehem, if you open one of the doors, so that at that point you know you're going to take the mace out of that door, so hu Tameh v'kuan Torin. So then, you know that the only way the mace is going to go out is through that door. So then that door and its overhang are Tameh, and the other ones are Tahor. Because the only reason they were Tameh Toyan was because they had the potential of being the exit space for the mace. Chishev lotzia be'achad mehen, if you intended, even just intended to bring the mace out through one of them, o b'chalon shesh ba'arba arba, or for that matter on a big enough window, a 4x4 window that's big enough to take out the mace, matzelas al kol psachim kulan. So those also mean that all the other windows, all the other doors are tameh, are tahar, and only this one is going to be tameh. Beis Shammai omrim v'uchich shechishe v'otzio ad shelo yamas hameis. So Beis Shammai says this is only true if you made that designation before the mace died. So now mikan el haba, it's no problem. You know that the mace, right? You said to yourself, if maybe there's a sick person in the house, this person dies, I'm going to take him out through that door. So then the sick person dies. So then you could then you're good. You could take him out through that door. All the other doors are tahar. Only that door is tameh. So Beis Hillel says, even if you made the designation after the mace was already dead. So think about this. The mace died. That made all the other doors and windows provisionally tameh. You now say, okay, I'm going to take the mace out through this one window or one door, and then that will transform, that will end the tumah status on the others. Okay. So that is Brera. So the Gemara is assuming that means, that shows that Beis Hillel holds a Brera, because here you could designate something for a particular purpose later in the game, and that will retroactively affect the status. So the Gemara says, Ha'idmar Allah, Amar Rabba, Lataris Psachim Kanu Abba. So Rabba says, or the Gemara says, don't we know that Rabba commented on this Mishnah, that this Mishnah is only to affect the status of those openings going forward? Meaning if you brought a new kli within the overhang of one of those other doors, going forward, now it's tahor, because you've designated that opening, according to Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai is going to say it's still tameh, even after you've mentally designated one of the openings, because Beis Shammai is going to require an action. You need to actually open the door. Once you open the door, everyone's going to agree that all the other doors are now tahor, and now new kelim brought within the overhangs of those other doors are tahor. But regardless, according to Rabbah, this only affects the status of kelim going forward. So this is not a demonstration then of Brera. This is not an example of Brera, because it's not going to change retroactively the status of the tumah that already exists. Ravoshia also says this only affects the status of kelim that are brought under those overhangs mikano abba going forward mikano abba in lemafreya lo, but not retroactively. So this is not brera. Fine. Rava, so that's one answer for the stira. Right, again, the stira had been, we thought, it seems like Beis Hillel doesn't hold a brera based on our Mishnah. This seems like a Breira. This Tumah, Sof Tumah, let's say, issue, Mishnah, seems like Breira. Rav Oshi and Rabba are now clarifying that's not Breira because it's only Mikan Alamba. Another answer, Rava Amar Li Olam Lama Freya. Rava says, no, really, the Mishnah in of Sof Tumah Latzeis is an example of Breira. It does affect the status retroactively of Kalim that are already under those overhangs. V'acha Inu Taima, and the reason why Beis Shammai here in Beitza doesn't apply Breira and doesn't say that your designation on Yontiv of the specific bird is akin to a designation before Yontiv of that specific bird, doesn't allow that, is Dilma Metalto Veshavik, Metalto Veshavik, Vika Metalto Midi Dua Chazilei. Beis Hillel is afraid that if you simply wait until Yontif to designate the particular bird, and you haven't designated the particular bird from before Yontif, then you're going to be faced with a situation where you get to the coop on Yontif, and now you have a wide choice of birds to look at. And you can take any one, really, right? Because your designation now will retroactively mean you've designated before. And the problem is that choice is going to be fatal because you're going to start now discriminating between birds. You're going to say, oh, that's a fat one, that's a thin one. You're going to lift it up, say, oh, maybe I'll take this one. And the fact that you haven't honed in and identified a specific bird as your bird, and the fact that in your mind you kind of have a broad array of choices here, is going to mean you're going to pick one up, and then you're going to say, oh, that's not big enough, you're going to put it down, you're going to pick another one, put it down, that's bad, that's a tiltul shelo tzorech, that's muktza. And that's why Beis Hillel says, from before Yontif already, you have to have designated the particular birds. And then, psychologically, on Yontif, once you know that your bird is your bird, you're just going to go in and grab that bird without a question. The Gemara then says, va'amris, ba'omeid v'omer zeh v'zeh ani notol sagi. If that's the consideration that Beis Hillel is bringing to the table, he should have required you to actually weigh the birds and look at very carefully at the ones you're picking before Yontif. The Mishnah's language is omeid v'omer v'zeh ani notol. Makes it sound as if you're standing back a few feet and kind of just looking. looking into the coop and designating bird A, bird B, bird C without discriminating and scrutinizing the birds and deciding which is the best one. Isn't that then going to open you to the same potential abuse of picking birds up and changing your mind on Yontif? So the Gemara answers, Han Mi Limer of Yom Tov. Aval B'Yom Tov Aser, D'Zimnin D'Mishtachi Shmanim Kushim Kushim Shmanim, V'Kamatal Tol Midi Du'o Chazilei. So the Gemara says here, and this is, Rashi explains this Gemara. It doesn't read so great. It's difficult words. But the way Rashi explains this, it means that the mere fact that you've designated particular birds from Erev Yontif means that you're not going to change your mind on Yontif. Because you go in knowing which birds are for you, and you don't have in mind that I can pick from any one of the mix. And even though you chose those birds kind of haphazardly and without actually weighing them and thinking and scrutinizing, that's not going to be a problem because you know going into the coop on Yontif that you are kind of going straight to those birds that you designated, and it's not going to be a problem that we're not as worried that you're going to change your mind.
Realistically, how are you going to be able to identify those
birds? I think the answer is either they're tagged somehow, or we don't know birds like bird breeders know birds. I think, you know, bird breeders know their birds, and they can distinguish. Maybe, I don't know. Either that or they're tagged. They're on a first name basis. Okay, Inami says the Gemara Zimnin de Mishtakli Kul Kachushim. The Gemara says something even worse might happen, which is that if you haven't designated particular birds from before Yontif, and you're going to now start choosing, maybe you're going to get all particular, and you're going to realize that these are all kind of scrawny birds, and you're going to walk away from Uvashavaglu, you're going to walk from A from entirely, you're going to end up eating fish for Yontif or something like that, and not enjoy Yontif as much. So that's why Beis Hillel says it's important that you actually designate the particular birds on Yontif, but he doesn't require that you necessarily weigh each one before Yontif and know what you're getting.
Is there a reason they only talk about this with birds and not with your sheep or your cattle?
I think so, yeah, because this mission is really talking about wild birds, where you have this whole designation problem. If you remember, with chickens, it wasn't a problem, so that's going to be probably true with your... Now, I guess you could say a deer, but you're going to have a whole problem of seda.
I'm saying, don't you have to salt meat and then let it sit anyway for anything that's a wild beast? You can't eat it right, shut it and eat it right away. Don't you have to like let it sit in salt and... Like, it's only related to birds, I think, that you can chef and eat it right away.
Oh, that's interesting.
A piece of meat, you can't chef
it on yet.
You can't eat it on yet.
Same day, no, I don't know if that's true. I think you could salt it.
You
could do sliage. Meaning, even if you somehow have a problem with moicha, if you fire it up on an open fire, you don't need to do moicha, because the blood drips out. Okay, now the Mishnah says the following. Zimen shechorim. We're still on the topic of designating birds from before Yontif. Let's say you designated two birds that are black, and now you come back on Yontif and you see that there are white birds there. Or vice versa. Let's say you designated two birds, you come back and you find a third bird there. So Asurim. In all those cases, it's Asur. We'll get into it in the Gemara. Let's say you designated three birds, and now you come back on Yontif, and there are only two birds left, mutarim. So then you could eat those two birds. You could assume that those two birds that are left are two of the three that you had designated. One just walked away. We'll talk in a minute why. Betocha kan umatzu ufnei kan. If you designated birds within the coop, and then you find them wandering around on the grass in front of the coop, asurim. Then you can't. Then you have to assume that these are different birds. But if the only birds in the area are these particular birds, then you could assume they're the same birds. Good. So again, this Mishnah is talking about what happens in a situation where you've designated birds, and now something or happens that makes you think that maybe these are not the birds you designated, and the different scenarios where the halacha might come out differently. So the Gemara says, Pshita, on the first issue, which is that you designated black birds, and now you come back and the two birds are white, so we know that black birds don't become white birds overnight, and vice versa. And so the Gemara says, Pshita, of course you can't eat these birds. These are, of course, not the birds you designated. Amarav ha'achav mayaskinon. No, the case is as follows. Kegon shezimen shechorim u'aveinim. You designated black birds in one cubby, and you designated white birds in the next cubby. Vishkin, and now you wake up the next morning on Yontif, umatza shchorim b'makom uveinim, uveinim b'makom shchorim, and you find that they've switched cubbies. So the blackbirds are now in the white bird cubby, the white bird in the blackbird cubby. And the question is, ma'u detema honey inu ninu, visapuche yisapuch. So you might think that these are the same birds that you designated. The white ones are the white ones you designated, they're in the blackbird cubby, vice versa. And therefore, these are perfectly okay, they have been designated by you. Kamashmuan hanu hanach azdu alma, comes the Mishnah to teach you that no, if they're not in the rightful place, then what might very well have happened is that these birds flew away. Vahani achrini ninu, and the ones that you're finding now in the coops are different birds altogether. Lema mesayale. So the Gemara now suggests that perhaps this Mishnah is a proof for the shita of Rabbi Chanina. Lema mesayale or Rabbi Chanina. Dam Rabbi Chanina. Rov v'karov ha'ach achar harov. So Rabbi Chanina is the one who says this famous principle of rov and karov. If you have rov and karov, we know that when we're dealing with uncertainties in halacha, we almost always will follow rov. So let's say, for example, in this case, for example, right? You designated two birds. There are a lot of birds in the world. There are a lot of birds not only in the world, but there are a lot of birds in New Jersey. There are a lot of birds in Passaic. So if you're going to go with rov, so, and these birds have free range in and out of the coop. So the fact that if you could recognize the two birds that you designated, so great, these are the two birds you designated. But if you're going to go with rove and say, I don't know which birds these are, they might be any birds in the world, so you've only designated two birds, rove of the birds in the world, or rove of the birds in the vicinity are not designated, and so therefore rove should tell you, the majority should tell you, that these birds are not permissible, they have not been designated. However, Karov tells you that there might be an overriding fact, and that is that if within the proximity of these birds, of your subject area, there are other birds that have been designated, so then perhaps that trumps Rove. Even though if you take into account all the birds in the area, the vast majority are birds that you have not designated. But here you have a situation where perhaps right next to you were the birds that were birds that match your description that were designated. So maybe Karov should tell you that, or Karov should trump Rove, and Karov should be should tell you that these birds are mutter. Maybe you should go with proximity versus overall majority. And so we're suggesting that our Mishnah, which is telling you that you're not allowed to rely on the proximity, you're not allowed to rely on the fact that there were white birds that you designated just a foot away in the next cubby, and rather you have to take a step back and consider it all in the context of Rove. Maybe this is telling you, this is a proof to the statement of Rove Vikarov Halacha HaRov, that we always go with majority and we don't take into account proximity. So the Gemara answers, no, this is not a proof, because Kedamar Abayi Bedaf, Hachanami Bedaf. Abayi says in another context later on that we're talking about a situation where other birds are stopping by all the time. There's a little platform right outside of this cubby where birds stop by all the time. So even though it's true that there were Karov birds that were designated right in the next cubby that were designated, but there were other Karov birds as well, right? Because birds are coming in and coming out. And so there were non-designated birds in the immediate proximity that were not designated, that were not muchan, and therefore this is like a karov situation. And rove and the fact that you're saying it's usser and that you have to assume that these birds were not designated doesn't necessarily prove that rove karov halacha harov. It might be just because you're weighing this against the other karov birds that were not designated. Okay. Shnayim matza shlosha asurim. This is the case where you designated two birds, and now all of a sudden a third bird appears out of nowhere. You can't eat any of them. So manavshach, the Gemara explains. Mimanavshach, either way you look at it, this is true. Iachrine ninu, haachrine ninu. So it could be that all three of these birds were swapped out, right? The three birds ran away, and two birds. I'm sorry, this is two and three. It could be that the two flew away, and now three birds come. These are completely undesignated birds, and that's why they're usher. V'lochrininu ha'ikalcha d'maribu. And even if two of these birds are the original birds that you designated, there's definitely a third bird here, and the third bird is usher, and so therefore the whole mixture is usher. Why don't you say halacharov, or why don't you say it's batel barov? So Tosfos says that there are two reasons, at least two reasons why you don't say batel barov. One is a davar sheish lamatirin. We learned earlier in the Masechta that something that is going to be permissible anyway, if just with the passage of time, meaning the end of Yontif, you're going to be able to eat any of these birds. So you don't apply principles of bittul to a davar sheish lamatirin for something that's going to become permissible anyway with time. And Tosfos also says these are bali chayim. Living organisms are not subject to the rules of batel because they're chashev. So remember, if we had way by the eggs also, davar shev minyan, the things that are chashev are not subject to the rules of batel here too. Okay, we're running out of time. Now the Gemara says the following. Shlosho matzah shnayim mutarim. Let's say you had three birds that you designated, and now you find two birds left. So the question obviously is, do you have to assume that the three birds you designated went away, and now these are two new undesignated birds, that would be usser? Or do you just assume, or can you assume, that maybe just one of them ran away, but two of them were stable? And we seem to be poskening that that's the case, that two of them are stable mutar. So my taima, honey inhu ninu, these are the two remaining were the same that you designated, v'chad minayu azuli alma, and one of them flew away. Leimas nisen rebi hivlo rabbanan. So perhaps this can prove to us that the halacha is like Rebbe and not like Rabbanan in the following situation. D'tanya. We have a braisa. Hiniach mana umatza masayim. Let's say you had money that had a meiser status. So the money that has meiser status, you can't just use for anything. You can only bring it to Yerushalayim. You need fruits in Yerushalayim. So it has a certain kedusha. We have to know whether this money is meiser or chulin. So if you put $100, let's say, in a certain area, and now you come back later and you find $200 there, right? So chulin u'maiser sheni muravin zeba ze, divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says that you have to assume that this is considered chulin and maiser sheni, meaning the you have to assume that your original money, your original $100 that you put there is still there, and someone just added, or you just add it and you don't remember, $100 in addition. And then what do? You take the nicer, you take the nicer coins, you're mechal the meiser on those, and then you can take the other ones, you could use as chulin. Right? Good. That's Rebbe. The Chachamim omrim hakol chulin. So the Chachamim say that you could assume that all the $200 are considered chulin, because the Chachamim say that it's not likely that you would add chulin to Meiser. You know to keep your money separately. And so it must be that you removed the $100 and then put $200 that were entirely chulin separately. Right? It's not likely that you just mixed in chulin with Meiser money. That's what the Chachamim say. Good. Here's the important part that we're going to tie our Mishnah to. Heiniach Masayim, let's say you put $200 in a certain area, umatza mana, right? And you find $100 left. So mana munach, umana mutel, divrei Rebbe. So Rebbe says, you have to assume that the money, that the $100 left was the meiser money, was meiser money. You took $100 away, and the remaining $100 is the same $100, is part of the $200 that you originally put there. The Chachamim omrin hakol chulin. And the Chachamim say, no, you have to assume that everything is chulin. And the reason is because you know that you only can use this money in Yerushalayim. And as long as you weren't in Yerushalayim, you didn't go to Yerushalayim, so we have to assume that you would have kept the $200 together. You never would have pulled $100 away from the $200 if you weren't going to be using it in Yerushalayim. Right, you would have known this is special $200, and therefore what's likely happened is that you just moved the $200 and that you put $100 there to replace it, and that's chulin money. That's what Chacham say. And so, if that's the case, so in our Mishnah, it seems like our Mishnah is siding with Rebbe, because it says that in a situation where you had three doves there, three birds there, and now you're left with only two, we're assuming that one of them just went away, as if just like Rebbe said, that you were assuming that you just took the $100. So the Gemara says, "Afilu tamer rabbanan." You could even say that this our mission is like the rabbanan. Ha'itmar Allah, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, Damri Tarvayu, Shiny Gozlos, Hoil Vasiyin Ledados. The Chachamim held their position with respect to the Moses Meiser, because they were making a guess as to what human nature was, how people handled money, and that you probably replaced all the money with chulin money. But here, we're dealing with birds. Birds walk around. And so it's very likely that with birds, one of the birds just walked away. And so therefore, the fact that there are only two left doesn't mean that you replaced all three birds with undesignated birds. You can rely on the fact that just one of them walked away, and these two birds are two of the three that you had designated. Now the Gemara says, "V'lamu yushnuya lo shani gozos hova asin ledados." Why do you have to come up with that answer? I have an even different answer, a more fundamental answer, as to why even the Rabbanim would agree with our Mishnah. Ba'itmar Allah, da'ahid Rabbi Yochanan Rav Elazar. Because Rabbi Yochanan Rav Elazar said with respect to this Mishnah of Meiser, Chad omer b'shnei kisin machlokas, av abakis echa divrei akol chulin. So one of them said that the machlokas in the Mishnah with respect to Meiser is true. That Mishnah is true where there were two separate pouches of money, $100 in one pouch, $100 in one pouch, about bakis echad, but where their $200 were contained in one pouch, divrei akol chulin, everyone would agree that the entire amount is chulin, because it's unlikely that a person reached into one pouch and pulled out $100. If there were two separate pouches there, it's quite possible that a person just grabbed one pouch and left the other one there. V'chad amar, b'kis echad machlokas, aval b'shnei kisin divrei akol mana munach u'mana mutel. And the other opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Rav Elazar holds, similarly, but just with a little switched it around, that it's the machlokas is with one pouch, but if there were two pouches, everyone would agree that you probably just grabbed one, and therefore the other one is considered meiser. So bishlo malamandi omer b'shnei kisin machlokas. So if you say that the machlokas in the Mishnah with meiser has to do with two kisim, so then that's analogous to our situation of the three birds, because the three birds are like two are separate entities, right? They function independently. So Haina Ditsrikushni, Hakashini goes. So then we can understand why you're saying that the distinction between that case and our case is the fact that birds wander away, and that's why it's not analogous, and that's why even the Rabbanim would agree with our Mishnah. Elomandi Omer, because Echad Machlokes, Avabishne Kisin Divrayakol, Divrayakol Manamunach Manamuto, Hashalamulushni Allah. Why do you have to say why do you have to answer the answer of that the birds walk away, that that they walk away assuming dados ha'amris b'shnei kisin lo puigi? You said that in a situation where there are two pouches of money, then everyone agrees that mana munach u'mana mutal, and that would then be everyone would then agree with our Mishnah, because the analogous case in our Mishnah is three birds. And you would say that the two birds that are left are the two birds that you had designated, right? So Ravashi, Hacha begozlos mikusharim v'kisim mikusharim askinan. No, we're talking about the case in that Mishnah with respect to the Meiser, when we said one kiss, one pouch, that was talking about where two pouches were tied together by a string. And for that matter, in our case with the gozlos, we're talking about where the birds were actually tied together with a string. And therefore, gozlos mintachi adadi, kisin lo misnatchi adadi. And the reason the Rabbanan say, with respect to the kisin, that the hakol chulin, that you, we assume that you pulled away everything and then replaced it just with $100 of chulin, is because that's true with kisin. If you pull one away, the other one will follow because they're tied together. But when it comes to the birds are independent, and even though they're tied together, they're going to pull on their strings and they're going to break the strings. Rabbi Amarucha, Kisin Namni Zimni Misakol Katrayu. Rabbi says, with respect to the Meiser case, that even with the Kisin, if you start to pull on one, it could very well break away, and therefore Rabbi holds Manamunach Manamutal, and the remaining mana is the mana of Meiser. Okay, sorry, we went through that last part a little quickly, but we're out of time.